The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth.
Any media source that is telling you today that ESPN has a double standard is flat out wrong. And I'll tell you why. It is your First Amendment right to call the president a white supremacist. It is your First Amendment right. You think that the president might be a racist, you should say something. ESPN host Jameel Hill took to Twitter this week and called President Trump a white supremacist who has largely surrounded himself with other white supremacists. Holy cow. Now, I remember somewhere in a distant past, somebody else saying, I think this guy has a problem with the white culture. That didn't go well. She didn't back down. In fact, she's doubled down. Trump is the most ignorant, offensive president of my lifetime. His rise is a direct result of white supremacy, period, end quote. Now, ESPN has neither fired her nor suspended her. They have a double standard. No, they do not. They gave her a very mild slap on the wrist. Now, what causes people to say that they have a double standard? Well, probably their clear-cut history at ESPN in handling these type of cases. Doug Alder, Anthony Federico, fired for ridiculous comments, one about guerrilla warfare, not the monkey, ape, gorilla thing, but gorilla as a way of fighting in the streets. And the other was a chink in the armor. Both of them completely innocent. Or how about Kurt Schilling? He was fired for doing exactly the same thing, going on his personal private account and making a statement, a political statement. Now, here's the difference. Schilling's comment didn't fit the progressive narrative of ESPN. Hill's did. There's no double standard here. There's a double standard. No, there's not. ESPN is completely 100% consistent. They have chosen their audience. They have chosen their tribe. They have chosen their path. They have chosen who they believe is right, who they believe is wrong. They have chosen the progressive platform. They have chosen clearly who they are. All media right now is going through massive disruption. ESPN is going to play for the audience that they want. So far, it has caused them to lose over 13 million subscribers over the last couple of years. That has forced the company to lay off over 100 employees just a few months ago. The entire industry is scrambling to find their niche. Everyone is. We are at the precipice of massive, massive change, and ESPN is just one of the many companies attempting to find their identity. But you should understand this. They've made it abundantly clear. They've made their choice. They've found their audience. They know who their tribe is. They're giving their tribe exactly what they want. They are 100% consistent. They will side with the progressive agenda every single time. That's their choice, and they have a right to that choice. Now, you have a choice. You can continue to watch and support ESPN or change the channel. There is Fox Sports. As far as I know, they haven't made the same choice.
It's Thursday, September 14th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
This is going to make my head explode, and I'm going to do everything I can to keep all of the blood inside of my body and not outside shooting from my eyes. The Democrats today say that they have reached a deal with President Trump to protect the young undocumented immigrants. Last week, the president said he was going to end DACA. Now, DACA, in case you don't know, is the Obama era executive order that said 800,000 people who were brought here illegally as kids are safe from deportation. Now, this is not what he said during the campaign. During the campaign, it was quite different, if I may, with Chuck Todd. So you'll rescind the DREAM Act executive order, the DACA. We have to, Trump. We have to make a whole new set of standards. And when people come in, they have to come in, Todd. So you're going to split up families. You're going to deport children, Chuck. Todd says, or Donald Trump says, no, Chuck. We're going to keep families together. We have to keep families together, but you're going to kick them out. Yes, they all have to go. That's pretty clear. That is really super clear. And that is exactly why people are called racist today. Because they voted to kick people out of the country that were here illegally. He was very crystal clear. So he decided last week he was going to end DACA. And he said, the Republicans in Congress, they need to figure this out. I'm going to give you 6 months, but if you don't figure this out in the next 6 months, then I will. I'm sorry, I have maybe a different calendar or a different watch, but I don't think, you know what, maybe like God, Trump's time is different than our time. Last night, a week later, Donald Trump met with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer over at the White House. They had some takeout. And they met at the White House. And let me give you the names of all of the Republicans that were also there. Okay, I just did. And here's what they agreed to. Quote, to move fast to protect these immigrants and also boost border security. The Democrats were clear, saying it will not include a border wall, one of Donald Trump's top campaign promises, if not the top. I think the wall just got 40 feet higher, I believe. The White House said that the wall is still on the table. Now, why is that on the table and not on the ground? Why is that on the table when it should be on the border? See, Mr. Trump, I don't think you understand. What people have endured by being called racists, they were called racist because they wanted border security, including a wall, which you promised. When people like me pointed out and said, you're not going to build the wall, we were told, get on the Trump train. Why are you trying to hurt him? Why can't we all just get behind him? You want Hillary Clinton to win? No, I just want to tell you that he's lying to you. He's not going to build the wall. That was unspeakable. And so lives have been disrupted. Lives have been disrupted. People have sold everything. Everything that was precious to them. Because you said you would end DACA. You would deport the people who were here illegally. And you would build a wall. Last week, you reversed yourself. But you said Congress has to do this in the next 6 months. 6 days later, you broker a deal without a single Republican there with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. But we're supposed to feel good that the wall is, quote, still on the table? Yeah, you know what else is on the table? Nuclear weapons. Are we going to use them? Probably not. When something is on the table, that means there is something to negotiate. You made it very clear there was no negotiation. You were going to build the wall, and Mexico was going to pay for it. Now, we happen to have the transcripts where you were telling the president of Mexico that don't worry about that, you're not going to pay for it. I just need you to kind of, you know, massage the words. This is all about politics. No, Mr. President, this isn't about politics. See, this is something that some people did not believe. Some of us were so jaded that we thought a guy who was against all of the things you were promising just a couple of years before could not have changed his mind. He was just playing the ultimate game of politics. You just found a new way to play it. But you destroyed anyone who would say that about you. You made it clear, and you sent out your henchmen to destroy anyone who said, wait a minute, I think we're being fooled here. Now the wall is on the table. Where were the Republicans? Nowhere to be found. This is the second time in 2 weeks that he has sidestepped the GOP to work with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. We have to decide. Do we have a line? Do we have a line? Or will we continue to move that line until we have all fallen off the cliff?
By the way, we should point out that the wall is not on the table, according to both sides, as it comes to this deal. So what the both sides are saying is they are giving the DACA gift in exchange for extra border security, but not the wall. Okay. Trump is saying we are going to go after the wall in different legislation.
Didn't anyone who met with the Gang of Eight, wasn't our main concern with people like Marco Rubio? You're naive, Marco. You're working with these guys. They have no intention of, you know what? I will not talk to you about any possibility of pulling anyone and saying, well, there's a path to citizenship. I will never compromise that until there's a wall and strict border border controls. And with the reason why the wall had to be built was because the next president could come in and just say, okay, yeah, we're going to remove all of the officers of the Border Patrol. We demanded that finally something permanent was done. We demanded that. We refused to listen to this nonsense from anyone. Oh, yeah, you're going to trust Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer? What deal did he make that he trusts, A, will actually happen, and B, what deal did he make that he thinks that is permanent? That somebody else, even him, cannot just reverse when he feels like it?
I mean, I can't believe you see people making the case that Schumer and Pelosi should be trusted in a deal like this.
Oh, my God.
They're going to give us border security. Are they? Schumer and Pelosi are going to do that?
Who's making that case?
Oh, lots of people.
Oh, my gosh.
So, but the interesting thing here, I guess, is remember, this can be surprising to you, right? If you were a big supporter of Trump or you believed in the guy, this might be surprising to you. But you had to remember that Donald Trump donated to these people. This is not just like he loves these people. He signed a newspaper to Nancy Pelosi that said she's the greatest. Yep. Like this is not a crazy thing for him to do. Yep. It's kind of what he promised to do in the campaign.
Here's the thing. Donald Trump is a New York progressive liberal, period. That's who he is. And I don't mean that as a slam or a smear or anything. That's just who he is. That's the way he was raised. That is just who he is. He has even said that. I grew up in New York. I lived in New York. I've done business in New York. It's just the way I think. Okay, I understand that. But when you are that guy, you've learned who you can work with and who you can massage and get things done. And so when it's Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer in your office, you say they're great people because you get what you want. And what Donald Trump wants is a win. He wants a win. And quite honestly, where are all the people? Where are all the people who accuse me of saying, Glenn is just selling out. He wants to be friends with all these people on the left. I don't really care. I don't care. I honestly, this is sincere. I have really good friends, and I would love to have more friends. I don't have time for more friends. I really don't. I'm really a bad friend to the friends that I do have because I'm never around. I'm never available. I had promised somebody that we were going to go out. We're friends. That we were going to go out and double date. It has taken me 2.5 years to be able to do that. 2.5 years. I just did it last Friday when I was some friends. 2.5 years after I said, we have got to get together. We finally got together. I can't handle any more friends. Where are the people that are saying he just wants more friends? Because quite honestly, this is the circle that he runs in. Nobody likes to be unpopular. Nobody likes to be that guy. Nobody. By the way, the headline today, Breitbart News. Trump caves on DACA, wants quick amnesty for 800,000 illegal aliens. Calling him on the front page, Amnesty Dawn. Steve King from Iowa. If the Associated Press is correct, Trump base is blown up, destroyed, irreparable, and disillusioned beyond repair. No promise is credible. Laura Ingraham, The Art of the Steal. This is the best comment. Let's hope that Pelosi and Schumer have misrepresented the DACA deal. That one is at least, I can live with that one. Sean Hannity, if reports are true, if reports are 100% true, I blame the Republicans. They caused this. They wanted him to fail and pushed him into the arms of political suicide, if true. It doesn't matter what other people say. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. It's time we stop pointing fingers. It's time we stop wishing that horses had wings and pigs were butterflies. They're not. They're not. Now, what are we going to do to get the job done? No. It's the dead of the night. You're abruptly woken by the sound of glass shattering. Is that somebody in my house? You reach over, you unlock the safe, and your hand goes on the handgun, which has that familiar feel in your hand because you've done it a million times. Your training kicks in. However, you have trained with targets. This is now everything is a blur. Everything slows down, and yet it happens that fast. You have to protect your family from an intruder who you don't know is here to steal your stuff. Kill you and the family. Who knows what he's going to do? He's in your house in the middle of the night. Go away, I have a gun. He doesn't. You now have to fire the gun because he's approaching. If you think your trouble is over, you're wrong. It has just begun. Your family is shaken up, but they're safe and alive. And now the police arrive. And depending on where you live... if you're in Texas, you're going to be okay. If you're not in Texas, you're not going to be okay. In many places, you're going to be arrested and forcefully questioned. Keeping your family safe begins after the smoke clears. You need somebody on your side, and I want you to discover the difference that the USCCA can make in your life. It is the difference between freedom and a jail cell. I want you to find out right now. Go to their website at protectanddefend.com. Claim your copy of the USCCA's free guide that'll uncover the 6 things you didn't have any idea would happen when the police arrive. That's protectanddefend.com. Protectanddefend.com.
Glenn Beck.
We are now at the crossroads with Donald Trump, to where he has gone out in Fifth Avenue and he has shot someone. And who is he? Who has he shot? He shot the person who said, I want the Trump. I want the wall. And I don't want amnesty. And I don't want backroom deals done with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer like the Gang of Eight. He just shot that person in the street on Fifth Avenue. Is he right? Will it matter to his supporters? So far, Breitbart, Drudge, Laura Ingraham, yes, it does. Now he's moving on to taxes, where yesterday he said, Taxes on the wealthy are going to stay the same under the new tax plan, but I'm quoting, if they have to go higher, they'll go higher. No, Mr. President, which one? Which is it? What do you believe? What are you promising? Can you fulfill that promise?
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Matt Walsh, who writes for The Blaze, wrote an article that was posted yesterday that you need to read. A certain sermon I heard a little while ago stuck with me. It began with a reference to Toy Story. Yes, the cartoon with talking toys. The Pixar film, the pastor explained, contained many examples of friendship. Friendship is important. It's good to have friends, in case any of you thought friendship was bad. He was standing up boldly, if anyone wanted to stand up and boldly declare otherwise. Remember that Randy Newman said, you got a friend in me. The pastor remembered it. He quoted it at length. Now, I have no problem with a sermon that draws on art or literature outside of the scripture to illustrate a theme contained in it. But all of the poems, novels, songs, films, paintings, sculptures that may reveal some divine truth. He went with Toy Story. Oh, but Toy Story is relatable, you see. Relatable to whom? The message preached from most of the pulpits in America is just like this: superficial, childish, empty, and seemingly designed to insult the intelligence of anyone who hears it. Christianity is dull and lifeless in this country because that's what the church and its leaders have done to it. They've made it into something so bland, so generic and inoffensive that it no longer bears any resemblance to the faith of our Christian ancestors. Indeed, the primary goal of the modern church is to avoid offense at whatever cost. And this is precisely why they are dying, because they're not merely boring people. The problem is more specifically that they are starving people. There's no substance, no meat, nothing in the message being preached. The congregants sit there and slowly starve to death. Your flocks are starving, churches, and you are starving them. We're getting killed out here. Do you even understand that? We drag our sorry, beaten carcasses into church every Sunday. Fewer and fewer even bother to do that anymore. After another week of languishing in Sodom, and what do you have to say? Friends are good, really? The troops are suffering massive defeats in battle. And when they consult their commanding officer, what do they hear? Yeah, it's rough out there, guys. So let me tell you what I learned about teamwork from watching Guardians of the Galaxy. People need to be woken up. They need to be offended. Offend us, Pastor. Make us uncomfortable. Make me look at my reflection and see the things I'd rather not see. Pull me out of my comfort zone. Make me angry at myself. Or at you for making me angry at myself. Can you stand to have people angry at you? If not, then you've chosen the wrong profession and the wrong religion. Whoever doesn't want to be challenged, whoever insists that they're above reproach, whoever wants only sweet nothings whispered in their ears, whoever wants a comfortable Christianity does not want Christianity at all. There are not limbs on the body of Christ. There are malignant growths. They are toxic. Cut them out. We pray that they return to the faith, but not until the faith is the faith they truly desire. If they are sitting there hoping to have their ears tickled and their preconceived notions confirmed, it is the duty of any pastor or priest to disappoint them and offend them. Because sometimes there is no other way to tell the truth. Matt Walsh is here. That article is at theblaze.com. Matt, you know what I like about you is you take on your own. You know, you're not pointing fingers at others. You're taking on your own faith, your own church. And I appreciate that. And making people uncomfortable. What is the future of Christianity?
I don't think it has much of a future in this culture. If this is what we get, this is what strikes me when I go to church, and I know that, and I wrote that, and there were plenty of Christians who said, "Well, my pastor's great. I don't know what you're talking about." And that's fine. If you have a great pastor, great church, then good for you. You should be very happy for that and grateful. But to deny that this is a problem is absurd. We know that the faith is decaying in this culture. It's very clear. And you look at any indicator, starting with church attendance. It's lower than it's ever been. There's more atheists in this country than there's ever been. You just go right down the line. And it strikes me that, at least from my experience and from talking to people, that the main problem isn't that people are going to church and they're hearing heresy and blasphemy. Well, that is, they're hearing that too, so that's a problem. But even more than that, it's not that. It's just this nothingness. It's just this. It's like you're going to church and the person talking to you doesn't understand, doesn't realize what century they're living in or who they're talking. You know, it's like
the way it is a complete disconnect from you walk in, and it is completely disconnected from the world you just left, and not in a good way.
Right.
It's as if it could be 1950. It could be, you know, 1800. It could be 2024. There's no connection at all to my life. It feels that way to me.
Yeah. And to the struggles that we're.
Yes.
You know, it should feel not disconnected, but it should feel like an oasis of sorts. You know, like you're in a safe place. A sanctuary is what they used to call it, and it's what's supposed to be.
See, may I point something out to you? Because I wonder if we're saying two different things. Because I was just asked to be a part of the bishopric in my faith, and it's a lay ministry. So, and we're wrestling with this very thing. And I said, you know, sanctuary, it needs to be a sanctuary for God's people to be able to come and be safe, and you can say anything. But, you know, the name Israel itself means wrestle with God. God expects you to wrestle with him. He expects you to ask tough questions. He expects his people to say, wait a minute, hang on just a second. And what's happening is, I think our churches should be spiritual hospitals. I'm coming in there every day and I need triage. Please help me, help me, help me. I need spiritual medicine all the time. And instead, what's happening is our churches are turning into some place that is either an entertainment center or it is a place where all the people think that they're doctors and they're talking about all of the other patients that they need to help. I think that's upside down.
I think it's like churches today are, what's that dumb, well, I didn't like it that much, that Robin Williams movie with where he was a pretended to be a clown for
Patch Adams.
Patch Adams. Okay.
That's a weird reference to bring into
well,
this.
Well, I'm right. Saying people are dying, and so the doctor puts on a clown nose and makes them laugh, which is great, but they also need medicine. They need medicine. Yeah. It's like if I'm going to a hospital, it's great to make me smile, but also treat what's killing me. I don't want a doctor just comes in with
it. I don't know if you just watched the trailer of Patch Adams,
well, maybe
I
don't know.
He was a very good doctor as well.
Let's put this reference to the side.
My point is, okay. All right.
Doctors, churches are like what I've just imagined Patch Adams to be, which is let's ignore the actual cancer that these people have, what they're struggling with. And let's just, you know, make them smile or put them to sleep.
Really. So here's the argument, the pushback, because I've talked to pastors and quite honestly, this is happening in conservative media. It's happening in liberal media as well. It's happening all over. No. But if I say those things, then I'll diminish the audience or I'll diminish the number of people who are coming to this church. And then I won't have a voice at all. Where my feeling is, you're not going to have a voice at all anyway. You have to understand. You just keep going along. There's no voice. No, why would anyone come to you when I can get it from watching Patch Adams or I can get it from watching Toy Story? I need somebody who has something real, authentic, and eternally true to tell me that will help me next week.
Right, exactly.
But nobody's doing that because they're afraid people are going to leave.
Right, but there's no reason for that. You're not giving them anything that they need. There's no reason for you to exist unless you tell them the things that might make them leave. And I think that if we get to a point, it would be great in this country. Separate the wheat from the chaff. Let's figure out where we actually stand as Christians. So if every church operated this way and they got up and they told the unvarnished truth, and you know, and you had a church of 100 people, and 98 of them get up in the middle of the homily or the sermon and march out, and you leave two there. Well, then great, because those are the two Those are the actual two Christians. Let's start there. Now we know how many actual Christians we have in this church. Two. Let's start with them. Let's build them up. Give them what they need. And then maybe they can go out, because this is the whole point. They're supposed to go out into the mission field and go win back the other 98. But when you're not, so it's really the two. It's the two that you need to kind of cater to. You need to give them what they need, because here's the problem. If you lose those two, but you keep the 98, then you're done. You're not really a church anymore. You're just like a,
yeah. They're leaves that will blow away in the fall wind.
So going back to your story here on the Blaze, because this is interesting. Are you making the point that only, like, they have to make sure they're making the uncomfortable points in any way possible and not skimming from that? Right. Or are you making the point that they shouldn't be making these points via the vehicle of Toy Story references?
So hang on. Yeah, so that's an important question. Is it? Are you okay with a spoonful of medicine? A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down? Or are you saying that there's just nothing in those?
If there's medicine, if there actually is medicine in it, but what we're getting is the sugar, but there's no medicine, so it's just sugar makes the sugar go down, which is great, but there's no medicine.
Now, if it's a good way to diabetes as well.
Yeah, that's a good way to get diabetes. Now, if you can figure out a way to use Toy Story to make some deep spiritual point that's going to, like, satiate the deep yearnings of these Christian believers, then you're very talented and great. Go for it. And you have seen much more in Toy Story than I saw, because I've seen the movie many times and all I see is talking toys. But if you see something deeper in it, then great, make that point. But in my case, all he made was the point that, yeah, let's make friends with people. Just put on the movie Toy Story and let us watch that. At least it'd be more entertaining anyway.
Yeah, because
Tim Allen, everything's in it. So,
because you made a point earlier about bringing the tough truth, right? And you have to make sure you're giving the tough truth. And you did that with an illustration of, well, a kind of an illustration of the trailer of Patch Adams. In a way, I think that made, like, that's an effective way, yes, of making those points. If you can bring the truth through those vehicles, I don't necessarily mind it.
Right.
I will say it's a sad circumstance that Christians have to get that message through movies, and it's more relatable because, yeah, of movies.
Jesus spoke in parables.
But yeah, like...
I've actually, from the pulpit, and this made a lot of people very angry, but I talked about Willy Wonka and the golden ticket, and I tied it into a gospel. I know I tied it into a gospel message. I mean, I think it can be done.
It can.
If I'm talking about, hey, and by the way, you can lick the wallpaper on the way out. No, no, you can't.
Yeah, it can be done. And that's something. And you're right. Jesus used parables that were very simple to, mm-hmm, appeal to so that the people that were listening could understand it. But obviously the point he was making was very deep. And sometimes the points he was making were frankly terrifying. He was finding a way to package it so that, not just so it'd be palatable, but so that we could wrap our minds around this concept. So if people are doing that, then fantastic. But that also takes a certain level of insight and talent that I think a lot of pastors just lack, which is I don't think you need to be necessarily a brilliant public speaker to be a pastor. You know, there could be normal people that are taking these jobs. But if you're in that camp, then I think you need to just be more direct. And even if you're just writing it down and you're reading from it, but just tell the people the truth that they need to hear. Don't try to get too cute with it. Unless you really are, you know, a brilliant orator, which most of these people aren't.
Thanks, Matt.
Read the story from Matt Walsh up at theblaze.com. How many times a week are you doing columns on the Blaze?
Two times a week, and then I got a podcast coming
out. Nice. Yeah, the podcast is too. Great to listen to that as well. Matt Walsh. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
Here's a fact you should know. 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. That is why ZipRecruiter is different, because you can go and you can post on 100 different sites. Or you can use ZipRecruiter, and it will take your job, and it will post on all of the 100-plus different job sites with a single click. Then they have this powerful technology that goes out and looks for the people. They're not just waiting for you to respond or waiting for people to respond. They go out and they say, okay, here are the requirements. Let's go find these people. Unlike other job sites, they help you find the right candidate. And in most cases, it's within the first 24 hours. No juggling emails, calls to your office because of the third thing. You can simply screen, rate, and manage all the candidates with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. That's what makes them different. ZipRecruiter. Try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/back. That's ZipRecruiter.com/back. Try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/back.
Glenn Beck.
I have to tell you, I Jim Carrey, this Jim Carrey thing that, you know, people celebrated last week when he was talking about God, and then celebrated this week because he was taking on the left. He was saying the same thing, and I have really, I think, a really important perspective that I want to share with you on finally finding what really matters through Jim Carrey. Also coming up in just a minute, Bill O'Reilly. We're going to talk a little bit about DACA and what happened with the president. Anxious to hear what his take on this is. With Breitbart coming out, Breitbart editor, what was the editor's quote to the? Here it is, to the Washington Post. Donald Trump should be ashamed of himself. He wasn't elected to do this. That's a Breitbart editor. People are upset, and they should be. DACA, taxes. We have 17 days to get health care reform finished, or you got to start all over again.
And no reconciliation there. So you'd have to get 60 votes for anything, and that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. You have 17 days. It's not going to happen.
It's amazing they blew this. Can you believe we're here? We got through this entire time, and they're going to blow the Obamacare repeal thing. That is absolutely incredible. Incredible. I mean, you just throw your hands up and you realize that this is the way it is. This is what we should expect, and we're the idiots for expecting anything different. But it is amazing.
But I don't think we did. I really don't think. There's a good portion of America that did not buy into it.
Yes.
We hoped. We hoped. Mm-hmm. We prayed. But we didn't think it would actually turn out any differently than it is. And I'm anxious to hear Bill's take on, could it get worse from here?
Glenn Beck. Love, courage, truth.
Well, Donald Trump promised that he would make deals, and that's exactly what he did last night. The president had dinner last night where he apparently struck a deal with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi again. There were no Republicans there. His supporters are furious. Breitbart is furious. Drudge is furious. The White House this morning is starting to walk it back. The deal reportedly enshrines the protections of DACA into law quickly and will work out a package of border security. The deal does not include any funding for the wall. So here's what happened. The Democrats have achieved their policy goal of turning DACA into law. And the Republicans, what did we get exactly? Here's what we got. We got a commitment from Democrats to work on border security. On the positive side, if we are going to live by DACA, it is better that Congress passes it into law than being an executive program. That is the only positive I can find. To the deal, two things are true. One, making a deal is not bad if you get something good out of it. Two, Trump got nothing good out of this deal, at least that we know of. Because the Democrats are always going to promise, we're going to work on a border security package. We're going to work on a border security package. We're going to work. Yeah, they never do. The Republicans never do. We're expecting the Democrats to do it? A good deal would have included real immigration reforms, real border enforcement. Look at this from the Democratic angle. If Trump reverses himself, they get to call him cruel and paint him as the bad guy trying to hurt these young adults affected by DACA. If he instead keeps his word, they get their policy goal and the GOP gets a promise to work together. You need to know this. Somebody's getting played. I don't know who it is, but I know for sure it is not Chuck and it is not Nancy.
It's Thursday, September 14th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Normally on Fridays we have Mr. Bill O'Reilly, but I am I'm actually going to speak and having dinner this weekend with Paul Kagame, the former president of Rwanda, who is an amazing, amazing guy. And it's proved to be interesting. But I'm also been asked to speak at a 3-day conference at a place called the Nantucket Project, which tries to bring people together on forgiveness and healing and a way forward.
It's an update for me. I will be having a brunch with Garbanguly Berikmetadov from Turkmenistan.
Really?
Really? So next Wednesday, 10:30 a.m.
Right.
IHOP.
Really?
International.
So it's an international pancake kind of moment. So anyway, Bill O'Reilly is with us today instead of on Friday, which he normally is. But I'm glad he's here because I want to talk to him a lot about the deal, you know, making a deal with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the spin that is going to come out of the White House now and the spin that is already coming out from Nancy and Chuck. And where are we going from here? Welcome to the program, Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com.
You are so lucky to have me on this program today.
I woke up this morning and I thought to myself, if I could only get more lucky. And then you were here.
Because I am going to be able to define this so even you understand it
better. Right. Okay. Go ahead. Talk down to me.
You are very lucky. But yes, first, I just wanted to give a plug because I'm having lunch with Ricky Bouffignats.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Who once traveled to Bolivia, and he wants healing.
But he's not, hang on just a second, but he didn't go there for any reason. He just went one time.
He wanted to be healed, so he went.
Okay, all right, good.
I'm going to figure out if he was healed or not.
All right, good, okay.
So that's Ricky Bouffignats.
All right.
Lunch with a rival.
All right.
All right, Beck. All right, so now I have to now walk you through what's happening on DACA.
Yes.
Okay?
All right.
First of all, Nancy Pelosi and Charles Schumer want to destroy Donald Trump.
Yes.
Fact number one.
Yes.
The
Should I write this down? Will there be a test?
Yes. We'll have somebody else write it down for you because I know your handwriting.
All right. Destroy. Got it.
Fact number one, Pelosi, Schumer want to destroy Trump.
Got it.
Fact number two, they know the fastest way to do that is to get Trump's base angry with him.
Right.
Okay?
All right.
The quickest way to do that is to turn
anger
Trump's
his base
supporters against him.
Got it.
Okay.
All right.
So therefore, anything that Schumer and Pelosi say,
yes,
throw right out the window.
Right.
Okay. That's number one.
No, that's
number two.
This would be number three. Number one was they're going to try to destroy.
No, okay, but I'm in categories now.
Oh, so we're in
category.
So that's category A at one and two, and now we're in category B.
Right.
Go ahead. All right.
It's easier with the graphics next to you.
Yes, go ahead.
No one, including the president, knows how this DACA thing is going to turn out, because the Republicans have to write a bill. Very difficult for these pinheads to do because that requires them getting out of the gym. All right? They have to actually go to their desk and write a bill.
Right, right.
They don't like that.
Right.
So they have to write a bill that says, all right, here's the new law that's going to cover 800,000 so-called dreamers, illegal aliens who were taken here by their parents, and they had no say about it. They came, and what are we going to do with them? Republicans write the bill. In that bill, could be anything. Could be anything. We don't know. All right? So Trump doesn't have any input as far as what's going to happen to the dreamers. It's all Congress. All right, and then the bill comes out, and Trump says, I like it or I don't like it. Are you with me? You still with me?
I just want to make sure. You didn't give me a topic, but under A is, number one, they're trying to destroy the president. Two, fastest way to do it is anger his base. B, no one knows what's going to be in this bill because it hasn't been written. Under that,
right.
Point one,
right.
Republicans don't like to work. Point two, Republicans could write anything. They could write a bill that replaces Nancy Pelosi with a chicken.
Right.
I've got it so far.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So good. Beck, you're really
I know I am. I'm taking notes.
The Pelosi
I'm
Chicken
so
Act.
Happy.
I'm behind that, by the way.
Yes,
right,
I
so
too.
All of us, loyal Americans who want the best for our country, should stop now with the speculation, which gets us nowhere, and wait until this bill comes out. Now, it is worthy that you and other commentators tell President Trump what you would like to see in the bill. Okay, this is
well,
what we
I think we did
think.
During the election.
Okay, well, no, because the Dreamer thing is a little bit more complicated.
No, it's not. Here's what the American people, here's what I believe the American people were actually saying, beyond all the hyperbole and everything else. This
right.
is what the American people were saying during the election. Look, that is a really complex issue. I don't know what to do. I don't want to hurt people. I'm not a racist, but
right.
I want border security. So
okay,
I'm
okay,
not,
okay,
hang
okay,
on,
okay,
wait,
down.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Wait
a minute. No,
You're going over ground that is inevitable. So it's
no,
inevitable.
It's no, it's not.
That the Republicans will put some kind of stringent border security, maybe even a Sank City thing, in the bill. They have to and they will. That will be there, Beck. Do not worry about that. But there are other things that are going to happen. Number one, Trump does not want to deport these Dreamers.
Mm-hmm.
That's obvious. He doesn't want it because he has to expand his base a little bit. And the polls overwhelmingly show that Americans are open to a fair deal for these people, these kids who were brought here. So he's not going to deport 800,000. That's not
so
gonna
when
happen.
He said to when he said in interview after interview after interview, yes, they're all going home.
When he says that, he doesn't think about the Dreamers. See,
it was specifically about the Dreamers. We checked the audio. It was
you
specifically
have the audio that Trump said Dreamers.
You
are
have the
home?
Yes.
Whoa, it's NBC article. We'll get it here.
I'll get it for you in a second. But go ahead.
All right, no, you don't have to get it for me. I believe you.
Okay. All right.
I believe you. Okay. All right. So that's not going to happen now. It's not. All right. He's not going to deport 800,000. And I'll tell you why. Because I told this to him to his face in an interview. The courts would block that until the year 2099.
Yes, you're right.
Okay?
Yes.
Thank you, Beck.
Yes.
So everybody knows it's not going to happen. So let's stop the BS and get a fair bill that would strengthen border security and anarchy and eliminate anarchy in the United States illegal immigration.
So I have to go back here. So has the last 2 years of us saying little Marco is making a deal with Chuck Schumer and the Gang of Eight and there's no amnesty. Mark my words, there's no amnesty. It will not happen. All of that. Hang on. I know you're just clearing the throat, but that means you're about to talk. Hang on. So the last 2 years of finger pointing and actually being the catalyst to have half of the country point to the other half and say, what a bunch of racists you are. You're completely unreasonable. You are lumping everybody in the same boat. All of that division, all of that hatred, all of that was for what purpose? For what purpose?
I don't know, Beck. That's way too complicated for a man
like me. It's not. No, it's not. You're
yes,
smart enough. You don't want
it's
to answer it.
It's way over my head.
You just don't want to answer it.
I just want to tell you what's going to happen.
Right.
All right? I can't talk to the president of Rwanda.
Yeah.
I can't. I don't have the ability or the intellectual.
Yes, you can. You do not want to.
A man who ran Rwanda.
Right.
I can't. That's your job. All right? Here's what's going to happen. All right?
Mm-hmm.
There will be some compromise Trump has already strengthened the border to a degree that we haven't had ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
All right.
All of the Republicans, with an exception of maybe Kasich, all of the Republicans, the 17 that he destroyed because they would make a deal with Nancy Pelosi. They were for amnesty. They were for the Gang of Eight. They right. weren't going to. You can't believe them. That they're going to build a wall, that they're going to do that. All of them would have done, with the exception of John Kasich, exactly what he has done so far without the division and the hatred
right. maybe,
and pitting against each
true,
other.
Beck. But the fact, and I love that word fact,
yes.
is that in the 6 months he's been sitting there in the Oval Office, immigration on the southern border, all right, has been enforced more
yes.
than ever in our lifetime. That's a fact. And it's not going to get any more lax. It'll get more stringent. Here's another fact.
Until he's gone and replaced by a Republican or a Democrat.
And then when the president of Rwanda comes over and runs this country.
Don't try to weasel out of this. That was the point of why we wanted a wall. Because nothing is ever permanent. Nothing is ever permanent.
Do you have time? Do you have to take a break? Do you want to know about the wall now?
I'm going to take a break. And Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com is where you can find him. And if you want this kind of fact-driven nonsense, you can find it at BillO'Reilly.com. Back in just a second.
I want to talk to statues, too.
Oh, yeah. Believe me, I've got a list of things to talk to you about.
BillO'Reilly.com is where you're going to go for the podcast, and I hopefully he'll be referencing the Paul Kagame statue.
Shut up.
Be talking about.
Shut up. How do you react when you face a crisis? Will you rise to the level of your preparedness? Or are you just hoping that, you know, things are going to work out? Hurricane Harvey and Irma, the latest example of this. Having an emergency food supply is invaluable in a crisis. My Patriot Supply is where I get my food storage. And I know Bill O'Reilly, who lives on that island, and he will be eaten by the New Yorkers when they lose power, you know, and he will be eaten. And it'll be tough eating. He's tough meat. But anyway, you can right now get 70 servings of survival food for only $67. Healthy food, less than a dollar per serving, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. If you have just lived through some of the crazy stuff that has happened in Florida or happened especially in Houston, you know this would be helpful. Call 800-977-0542 or order online at preparewithglenn.com. A prepared America is a strong America. My Patriot Supply, that's their mission. 800-977-0542 or preparewithglenn.com.
Glenn Beck.
So what's the wall is what I ask about to Bill O'Reilly. What's the wall
number
about?
One, fat. Here, number one fact. Okay, we're back to the facts. I know that upsets you. Okay. There's not going to be any wall in the bill about the Dreamers because that would mobilize opposition from 100% of the Democrats and some Republicans as well. So they're not going to have that in there in the bill. Now, some people will be angry about that, but step back. Trump's going to build his wall. He doesn't need legislation to build it. He can do it by executive order. He can do it by using Homeland Security funds, of which there are gazillions of dollars available. He can do it, and he will do it. But it's not going to be a wall from Brownsville to San Diego. It's not going to be that. It's going to be in certain places where it's easier to smuggle narcotics. The wall is basically a detriment against narcotics, not people. All right. So they will build some of it. It will come from orders from Donald Trump, but it's not going to be enshrined anywhere because it's too polarizing. So that's what's going to happen.
That is stands against Bill O'Reilly. Absolutely everything I stand for as a constitutionalist.
I know it does.
What you've just described is, as a constitutionalist, you have said through executive order, he will do things that are temporary I am against it as a constitutionalist, and I am against it as somebody.
I mean, maybe they could knock it down if you elect Bernie Sanders, but you have to live in the real world. And the real world is two things here. Trump knows he has to build the wall, some semblance of it. He has to, all right? And he will. But he's not going to get permission from Congress to do it because there are not enough votes there. It's as simple as that. So you've got to live in the real world, Beck, if you want to get anything done at all. I understand the constitutionalists. I understand all that. But, you know, this is hand-to-hand combat. Donald Trump going to survive the presidency, is going to get reelected. All right, he's got to do certain things that you're just not going to like.
Okay, so when he says, can we play cut five of audio, cut five, please? This is President Trump talking about taxes. Cut five, do you have it? Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah, I'm curious on this because he obviously said during the campaign that it was going to be a wall that went for the whole border, right? He did say that.
He said a lot of things, but he doesn't understand at that point what it takes to get that stuff done.
Okay, so hang on. Here he is on you know what? I don't have enough. This is a 59-second cut. Let me just read this. Taxes paid by the wealthy will likely stay under the same under the new tax plan, but if they have to go higher, they're going to go higher.
Mm-hmm.
What does he stand for, Bill? What can I trust?
He's trying to be a populist. He's trying to appeal to working class and middle class voters. He knows that's where his base is. So that's what he stands for.
Is that healthy for a country? Populism, is it good?
I would like to see populism combined with astute analysis. I think if you got a politician who had both, who was, you know, really felt for the working people, but was astute in how to get things done, then you'd have something. But we don't seem to be able to produce politicians.
All right. When we come back, Bill O'Reilly is going to take on a couple of things. One, the statues.
Yes.
And we'll talk a little bit about that. Also, it was because it's getting crazy. Also, we're going to try to get to the latest from ESPN, and I know how much Bill O'Reilly loves Hillary Clinton and has probably spent all week just up late at night reading her book. Her latest poll numbers show most Americans want her to go away. Bill's opinion coming up.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I'm really tired of hearing people's opinion. There are very few people's opinion that matter to me. I mean, I barely can say my own opinion. Everybody has one. I got it. What I'm interested in, facts and perspective. And one of the best is Bill O'Reilly. And we welcome him to the program from BillO'Reilly.com. I'm going to be gone tomorrow. I'm having dinner with Winston Churchill tomorrow night. So I will not be here. But we're going to talk about peace and war and everything in between. And I'll give you a report on that on Monday. But Bill O'Reilly, give me the facts on what's happening with the statues.
All right. I think you and I are of one mind on this, because very early on, after Robert E. Lee's statue was the subject of that incredible controversy in Charlottesville, we both said it's not going to end with Lee. They're coming after Washington and Jefferson and other founding fathers. Right. Yep. You said that, too, I believe.
Yes,
correct?
I did. Yep. OK. Yep.
So we both said it not in collusion. There were no Russian collusion here.
Oh,
just
I don't know.
Zionist masters. Back on his Blaze and O'Reilly on BillO'Reilly.com said it independently. All right, so now it's happened. So Black Lives Matter and other radical groups are demanding that Thomas Jefferson's statue be taken down in Charlottesville. Jefferson founded the University of Virginia, which is there, and lived there. Okay, so this plays right into my wheelhouse because I have a book coming out Tuesday called Killing England, The Brutal Struggle for American Independence.
Shut up. Right. It's like I thought if there is a way I could get Bill O'Reilly to talk about his book.
This is a legitimate way.
Yeah.
This is a legitimate way. Because I write about Thomas Jefferson.
Shut up.
What he did about in slavery. And he had slaves and how he behaved,
you know,
and his whole life.
Bill, can I ask you a question about Thomas Jefferson? First of all, how do we get the word out that Thomas Jefferson led the fight in Virginia to try to be able to release his slaves? It was
that's in the book. But you're missing
I mean, some way that people will read it or find it or.
Let me illuminate, okay?
Yeah. All right, okay.
In order to win this debate, Beck, traditional Americans have to have the facts. They have to know what Thomas Jefferson just did. You just said it. That the man was very conflicted about slavery. And we, in Killing England, you'll see exactly how conflicted he was and what he did. And the other led to our independence.
Hang on just a second. I don't think he was. I mean, he's the guy who said, because I know God is just, I tremble for my country. That was about slavery.
He agonized about the line, all men are created equal.
Yes. Yes, he did do that.
He agonized about it because he said, we're not including African Americans.
Yes.
So if you read the book, he's a conflicted man on the issue, okay? But the overarch of what he did, what George Washington did, because they're going to come after Washington, he was a slaveholder too, is amazing, and you got to know that in order to ward off the far-left kooks. Now, why are they doing the statues? Here's what it's all about, Beck. It's not about the statues of Lee or Jefferson or Washington or any of that. It's about undermining the entire constitution of this country. The far left believes that we are a nation founded by white supremacists, okay? And that our constitution reflects that. So we got to do away with that and have a new constitution. That's what this is all about. That you run down the founding fathers, you run down the philosophy on which the country was founded, and you replace it with a socialist manifesto. Now, you're going to say, oh, O'Reilly, you're this conspiratorialist, this, that. No. This is exactly the conversations that are taking place within the precincts of Black Lives Matter, the Antifa movement, and some in the mainstream media who sympathize with that. Now you can segue into Jemele Hill, the girl on ESPN, the woman on ESPN, okay, who tweets that Trump is a white supremacist and he's surrounded by them. Okay, now, you got a question about Hill?
I just want to, I didn't want to transition there, but I mean, all of a sudden I lost control of the show. So
right,
I'd like to go back to the Star Spangled Banner, and the fight on slavery. It is incumbent upon each of us, and Bill is true. And it kills me to promote his stupid freaking book, but he is right. And his book does cover this. And we need to know who these people were. When it comes to the Star Spangled Banner, the fifth stanza is all about slavery. When our land is illuminated with liberty's smile, if a foe from within strike blow at her glory, down, down the traitor who dares to defile her flag of stars in the pages of her story, by the millions unchained who our birthright have gained, we will keep her bright blazon forever unstained. Yesterday they went after Francis Scott Key. This is revisionist history, and it has to stop.
Well, it's only going to stop if the people rise up.
If the people educate
to do this.
I think you're wrong on that. I think it will only happen when the people educate themselves.
Okay.
Then they will rise up.
With You rise up with education and you're effective.
Yes.
You rise up with emotion and you don't know anything.
We are only
not effective.
We are only slaves to we are slaves to lies right now. We are slaves to others who are manipulating us because we have not done what every slave, as soon as they became free, the first thing they did was try to get an education, try to learn, try to read. We're not doing any of it, and we're chaining ourselves, and we are going to be slaves of some other master if we don't educate ourselves.
Well, I that's very well said. And, you know, again, I'm lucky in the sense that when I wrote Killing England, I didn't have any idea that within a year, the Antifa movement and the socialistic movement would be as intimidating as it is now. But I'm glad I wrote the book. It's almost a miracle, because if you want to know who Jefferson, Washington, and Benjamin Franklin actually were as people, and you read the book, you'll know.
Jeez,
and then
you can fight off. Book. So
you can
stop.
Fight off the forces of darkness.
All
they're coming.
All I wanted to do was talk about ESPN. And now he's just going on. So now, hang on. Here's the question on ESPN.
Thank you.
Big thing on ESPN is everybody's saying, they've got a double standard. No, they don't. This is the same standard. You will fire anyone who has a non-progressive big government view or a small government view. And you will cheer on and excuse anyone who has a progressive PC pro-big government view. They're completely consistent.
Well, they've destroyed the network.
Yes.
All right. So ESPN is a shadow of what it used to be, and it's not coming back. All right. So that's number one. And the reason is people watch that network for sports, not to have somebody like Jemele Hill accuse the president and his cabinet of being white supremacists. They don't watch for that. You know, MSNBC should hire the woman. That's what they do.
So, okay. Bill, have you ever heard anybody ever even question the president and his relationship with race? So, in other words, have you ever heard anyone say things like, I think this president may be a racist. I think this president may have a deep, dark, unsettled feeling about white people. You ever heard anybody say that? Because I remember somebody did, and they questioned what the intent was, and it was heralded as the biggest mistake on planet Earth. How dare you ever question that? And now somebody at ESPN can say, not question, but to make the statement, he's a white supremacist, and
right.
Everybody's fine.
Well, not everybody's fine. There's a big, big controversy about it. I don't think the woman should be
not
fired.
Not on the left.
Although they, not on the left, because they concur.
Yes.
But, you know, they fired Curt Schilling, and, you know, he
did
a
the
very
same
staunch
thing.
Conservative.
Right, he did the no, same
he did,
thing.
It was a little bit more, because Schilling had an illustration of a transgendered person that was pretty offensive, I would say.
I don't remember it exactly, so I'd have to go back and look.
They could have suspended him, and they could have brought him back. But they don't, they being Disney. Disney runs, and a lot of people don't know this, Disney owns ESPN.
Right.
But Disney doesn't have, as you pointed out, any respect for the conservative American thought process. But I wouldn't fire the woman. I don't think that's the right way to handle it. I think that you basically say to her, you don't really know what you're talking about, with all due respect, Ms. Hill. All right? This isn't what's going on here. And the fact that you believe it is, you're entitled to that, but you're in a position of responsibility, particularly with younger African Americans, and you're really abusing that, because you can't back that statement up. You know, you can't back it up. And what you're doing is you're denigrating the country, just like Colin Kaepernick did. And, you know, if people object to that, their views are just as viable as your views. So you're going to have to take what comes, which is criticism and lower ratings, because that's where it's going.
And, Bill, I think this is what you're saying. But, I mean, in fact, they handle these situations many different ways. The Jemele Hill way is the way they actually should handle it.
Yes.
Right? I mean, like,
yes.
They
you're
should come in and say,
thing.
It's your own private thing. We don't think that's the right way for you to be handling this, especially if people might think it's from ESPN. But, you know, whatever. We'll give you a little slap on the wrist or at least a talking to or whatever, and you'll come back and do the show. The problem is how they handle all the other cases.
Shilling, but with Shilling, you had that cartoon. And then
But, you know, you don't even have to go to Shilling. You really don't have to go to Shilling.
Chink in the armor.
The guerrilla warfare. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's two people that lost their jobs for phrases that have nothing to do with race. And they went crazy, and it's
well, there's no doubt there's a double standard, there's hypocrisy all over the place, but I think that traditional Americans who believe in fairness have to rise above the hypocrisy, and you know what? Here's what you do: you just don't watch, and that's going on now for years. They've been bailing out of ESPN for years, and other networks that are not honest or are doing something that the folks deem offensive, don't watch.
I will tell you this, if you really want to make an impact, you don't watch, of course, but if you really want to make an impact, you let Disney know, I'm not taking my kids to your park.
That would do it.
They only care about the mouse. That's all they care about.
They care. Look, every corporation, it's money first. There's no doubt about it. And on that note, we want everybody to pre-order Killing England, which comes out Tuesday.
That's a solid segue right there.
There you go.
Bill, do I have to endure this again on Tuesday when it comes
out? And next Friday.
I don't know if I can do two times a week.
All right. Well, we'll get you some oxygen, and you know, we'll do what we have to do.
No, believe me, there's enough air in here, hot air, when you're around. I don't need any more. Bill, good to have you. Thank you. We'll talk to you again.
All right. Thanks for having me in.
You bet, buddy.
Bill O'Reilly, the book is called Killing England. It is coming out on Tuesday. You, of course, can also go to his website and sign up at BillO'Reilly.com.
You know, I really love my relationship with Bill O'Reilly. And same with Don Imus. You know, here are two guys that are, you know, they are the legends. They are the legends of their generation. They're the ones that I watched for years. And they both can hit hard and take a punch, and neither of them insist that you agree with them, which is the way it's supposed to be.
I will say Bill is much happier.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's remarkable.
Oh, yeah. No,
I mean,
he's
just
happy
from
now.
Judging, because when he was doing the Fox thing, he'd come on the show.
Yeah, he's happy.
And, you know, he'd do his thing.
Yeah.
He seems like he's actually enjoying life these days.
Yeah. I want to tell you about Bonnie and Michael. Bonnie and Michael live in Virginia. They had a house in Ohio. I almost said Hawaii. What am I thinking? It's Ohio. Sorry. A little different than Hawaii. For a year, as they were trying to sell that house, nothing was done. The agent never called, never kept them posted. They were always wondering what is happening. Bonnie and Michael decided to make a change because they listened to this program. And they decided to go to realestateagentsitrust.com. They got Stacy, brand new real estate agent, got to work. In no time, they received an offer on the house. The entire thing was done in 2 weeks. A year versus 2 weeks. You want to get your house sold. You want to get it sold on time for the most amount of money. You want to have a good, a pleasant experience. It doesn't have to be this hard. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. They're going to help you find a great real estate agent in your town. Thousands of people have already put this to the test. It's RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com.
Glenn Beck.
Ben Shapiro is in Berkeley tonight. Hopefully he'll be on the air tomorrow. Talk about that experience. I mean, that's assuming that the person that is going to be doing this show wants to have Ben Shapiro on.
We'd love to have Ben on. We're fans.
Yes,
and it should be pretty crazy. I love how
you're hosting tomorrow. Are you not?
Yes, myself and Mr. Pat Gray, Pat and Stu reunion tour.
I'm having brunch with Elon Musk on Mars this weekend. So
it's not quite true, but almost.
Yeah,
I'm amazed to see the way they've been. Have you seen the reports about
the Mars part? Is yes,
the Ben Shapiro thing. They're saying Berkeley is bracing for a speech from Ben Shapiro. Now Ben is a really smart guy, and he can be a surgeon with his words. but he is not a scary individual. They are bracing for the violence that is coming from Antifa because Ben Shapiro is going to mention lower taxes or something.
It's crazy.
Because
he is really not. He's a guy who doesn't raise his voice.
No.
He does not throw bombs around. He just states facts. I love Ben Shapiro because he's just fact-driven. He's like, no, that's not the way it is. It's this way, it's this way, it's this way. And the left just cannot handle it.
That's
I'm torn because they want to burn Berkeley down to the ground. Oh, I mean, okay. I mean, if that's what you want to do, okay, I guess.
Glenn Beck.
Food. I like food. And if you've seen my
appearance, as much as I do.
Yeah, well, both of us kind of like food quite a bit. And in fact, I love really good food. Food that, you know, you can make at home and then you can impress your family and you'll actually look like you can accomplish something. That's what Blue Apron kind of does for me because I've never been able to cook anything. I do not have talent in the kitchen whatsoever, but Blue Apron walks you through this step by step. First of all, you don't have to go to the store. They deliver everything you need right to your house in the exact portion that you need. So there's no waste. And you don't have to worry about measuring things. It just works perfectly. You mix this, you do all the stuff they tell you on the recipe cards, which are really nice and easy to follow. In a half an hour, 45 minutes, you've got a gourmet meal that you've made. You've actually accomplished something in the house. Can't tell you how rare that is for me. Check out this week's menu. Get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/stew. Blueapron.com/stew. You'll love this stuff. I'm promising you. Blueapron.com/stew. A better way to cook.
Love, courage, truth.
When it comes to feeling offended, we choose whether or not we're going to indulge in that feeling. We choose. Are you going to be offended or not? It's our choice. Tonight, Ben Shapiro is going to speak at UC Berkeley, and Shapiro speaks at colleges all the time. And he speaks at colleges without a ruckus most of the time. He's a button-down guy. He's not a flamethrower. He just speaks the truth with reason, facts, and common sense. So his appearance at Berkeley would probably go unnoticed by most of the country if it wasn't for headlines like this we found in the LA Times. Berkeley braces for right-wing talk show host Ben Shapiro's visit. What? They brace for it? A guy's coming to talk to college students. UC Berkeley is going to have a perimeter closed off outside the building where the oh-so-intimidating Shapiro is speaking. The university is also, I am not making this up, they are going to have counseling services available for students because they are deeply concerned about some speakers and what those speakers may have, you know, the impact that they may make on individuals' sense of safety and belonging. If a student gets their feelings hurt by Ben Shapiro's speech, it will be because the student chooses to get their feelings hurt. If protesters turn violent and set fires, that will be because someone decided to get violent and set fires. It won't be Shapiro's fault. It will be because the protesters chose to do that. I mean, do your freaking homework, man. The left fails to understand a fundamental thing about how to deal with a person or a group that they don't like. The more they fret about said person or group, the more attention they're going to draw to them. Growing up, they must not have had the mom who told them, ignore your younger brother. Ignore your sister. Stop. Just stop noticing and they will stop. My parents told me choose not to engage. Ignore it. And it's not like Shapiro or Ann Coulter or Steve Bannon are pining to speak at the University of Nebraska or something. They're going where the attention is. If Berkeley students hate these speakers so much, the best way to get rid of them is stay at home. Don't protest. Ignore them. No one will know who they are. But they don't do that because they're actually not They're not really worried about Ben Shapiro or anybody's speech. That's not what that's not what they're trying to do. They are trying to increase anger, discord, conflict, and chaos. For them and them alone, choosing to be offended is good for their business.
It's Thursday, September 14th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So yesterday, I started to talk about Jim Carrey, and I want you to know there's two things that I want to try to bring to you every day, and one is the facts. What are the facts? Two, perspective. If you know what the story is there a different way to look at it? Everybody has an opinion. I could tell you my opinion, which generally ends up with something that sounds a lot like, and that's why I know I'm right. I'm more interested in perspective because the groups are all just changing words and trying to reword the same opinion, and it's not getting us anywhere. I would like to start with, wait a minute. Have you tried looking at it this way? That's perspective. So this perspective on Jim Carrey, I think, is really important because I think what Jim Carrey is going through and what we have just witnessed, that the press spent a day last week celebrating on the right. He's a Jesus guy. He's our Jesus guy. Look, he's found Jesus. How great is this? Okay, that's good. That's good. That's a good. That's a good opinion on what happened. Then 2 days ago, the left was very angry and the right was celebrating. Look, he's just punched the left, the phony phones. He's busted them in the face. Look at this. He went to Fashion Week and he's telling all those phonies. He's telling them off. Okay, again, a valid opinion. But I don't think that's what this means at all. And I think what we can learn from these two pieces of audio are life-changing. So first, let me give you the facts. Here's the first cut. This is what he said this weekend, edited, or just a couple of days ago, edited at a fashion week.
I've run in to Jim Carrey. Wait, tell me, is it true you're wandering the streets? You need a date to the party? What's up?
No. I'm doing just fine. I just there's no meaning to any of this. So I wanted to find the most meaningless thing that I could come to and join, and here I am.
They're celebrating.
I mean, you got to admit it's completely meaningless.
Well, they say they're celebrating icons inside.
Celebrating
Do you
believe icons?
In icons,
boy, that is just the absolute lowest aiming, you know, possibility that we could come up with. It's like icons. What do you believe in icons? I don't believe in personalities. I don't believe that you exist, but there is a wonderful fragrance in the air.
You don't believe certain icons have the power to make change, to think differently, to be bold, to inspire others? Artistry, you're one of them.
Yeah, no, I don't believe in icons. I don't believe in personalities. I believe that peace lies beyond personality.
Okay, that's an edited version, and it got weird, really weird beyond that. In fact, the headline was, Jim Carrey gets really bizarre at New York Fashion Week. So before we get to perspective, one more fact. Here's what the right was celebrating last week. Listen to this edited version of what came out last week as he was speaking to Homeboy Industries in Los Angeles.
I really want to speak to the fact that I've had some challenges in the last couple of years myself. Ultimately, I believe that suffering leads to salvation. And in fact, it's the only way that we have to somehow accept, not deny, but feel our suffering and feel our losses. And then we make one of two decisions. We either decide to go through the gate of resentment, which leads to vengeance, which leads to self-harm, which leads to harm to others, or we go through the gate of forgiveness, which leads to grace. And your being here is an indication that you've made that decision already. You've made the decision to walk through the gate of forgiveness to grace, just as Christ did on the cross.
So now perspective. What the hell just happened to Jim Carrey? I thought he was the pet detective guy.
What?
Who is this guy? Is he crazy at Fashion Week? Or has something happened to him? If you look at both of these side by side, you will see all of our futures. And he said there, you have a choice. Just like Berkeley has a choice today. Let him speak. Let him speak and move on. Or let yourself give in to anger and violence and hatred, and it will be destruction. Jim Carrey has been going through multiple massive struggles in his life, which I believe has, I think it's healthy. I've never learned anything when I was happy. I was going to say fat and happy. I'm fat now, so, and I seem to be learning a lot. So when you're content, you generally don't learn a lot. It's when you have real struggle in your life that you learn. What the media is missing is in this audio clip from Homeboy Industries, he called the audience heroes. You're a hero to me. Who is he talking to? He was talking to a group of people who had formerly been in jail or in prison. They were incarcerated and they were involved in gangs. This is a rough crowd that he's talking to. And he calls them his heroes. Why? Because what he said was, we have two choices. Something happens, and we have two choices. And we can fall in with anger and vengeance and hatred, which leads to self-harm. Or we can surrender, which leads to forgiveness and grace. He said to the guys at Homeboy Industries, the former gang members in jail, you guys are heroes because you've chosen grace, and you are here with the odds stacked against you, and you are determined to go a different way. So he's just met a hero, several heroes, just the week before, who are actually doing something and have nothing. And have nobody heralding them, nobody helping them, the world looking down on them. They have everything stacked against them, and they're determined to stand. And then he gets on a plane and he goes to New York and he goes to Fashion Week. And what does he walk into? A Fashion Week tent that is celebrating, quote, icons. Celebrity fashion icons. And I have to believe that he had exactly the same experience that I had on this radio program just a couple of weeks ago. A couple of weeks ago, I went in. It was right after I had to lay off a lot of people and make really, really tough decisions. And I have not been that torn apart in I don't know how long. And I made those decisions, and then I got onto a plane. And I went to Mexico to work with OUR, Operation Underground Railroad. And I sat down with people who were actual former slaves, actual chain around the neck, chain around the hands or the wrists, chained to a wall, a floor, or a bed for up to 2 years, one of them beaten every day with a broom handle, beaten so badly every time the broom handle would break. And this person wasn't talking at all about being oppressed, wasn't asking even for help. This person, and it was like this, one after another, after another, after another. I'm going to show you the interviews soon. None of them were crying anything. They weren't crying. They weren't even crying for help. They were telling me my life is a blank piece of paper and I am its only author. No, wait a minute. Hang on just a second. What about the guy who beat you with a broom handle? And that was actually a woman. What about that person? Does that person not have any authorship in your life? No, because if I choose to give that person authorship, my life story changes. That is something that they chose to do, and it has only made me stronger. And I come back after 2 days in Mexico. I haven't paid attention to the news over the weekend, and I sit in this chair, and I hear the complaints and the audio and the news of how these statues have to be pulled down because, my gosh, what oppressors. These guys who have no effect on your life. None. It's a stupid freaking statue. It has no effect on your life unless you choose. And I did a monologue on the air, and I've done several of them since. And I don't know if you've heard them. But I have said, all of this is meaningless. All of it is meaningless. What are we doing? What am I doing? You know what got me there? Pain. Struggle. Everything the world wants to take away from you. We are either popping a Xanax, an opioid, Prozac. We're escaping through hatred. We're escaping through Facebook. I'd be real honest with you. Every weekend, people say to me, how do you go to so many movies? Why do you go to so many? I have to admit, to escape. I want 3 hours of a week where I escape. That is my vice. I escape once a week at a movie theater. We all have a choice, and I think Jim Carrey has made his choice, and everyone in the media has missed it, and that is, I choose a different kind of hero. I choose a hero who has actually seen suffering and has seen the worst of the worst, and now is not asking for a handout or anything else, is choosing to stand. And they're going to author their own story. That is a life worth living. That is an icon.
Or it could be completely insane. We just want to throw that in at the end of that. It could just be that he's completely insane.
A recent FBI report puts the average property loss from one home break-in at about $2,000. $2,000 loss after one burglary. It's really important to protect your home and protect it with Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe protects every door, every window in your home. You get motion sensors, entry sensors. They have completely wireless. It's a wireless system. So you can set it up yourself. There's no drilling holes in your wall. And you have professional alarm monitoring around the clock, ready to send police, ready to send fire or an ambulance. That's $15 a month. $14.99. $15 a month. And there's no contract. So you want it this month, but you can't afford the $15 next month. That's okay. You just call them up. I don't need it. Simply Safe. Go to simplysafebeck.com. It is the new way, the right way to put home security into your home. SimpliSafe. You could also find it at Best Buy, so you could have it you know, set up and installed in your home tonight. You find it at Best Buy, or you can get 10% off by going to SimpliSafeBeck.com. That's SimpliSafeBeck.com.
Glenn Beck.
We have Pat Unleashed coming up in a second. Also, an amazing story from Plano, Texas. One that just it just fell by the wayside. And it's a really big story. Any other time in my lifetime, it would have been a really big story. But it just kind of fell by the wayside, and nobody picks it up, which is kind of leads to the perspective of that story and why I want to tell it to you coming up in just a second.
Not nearly as big a story as obviously what I'm about to bring to the table.
Yeah.
Eyebrow trends are constantly changing from ultra thin in the 20s via arched brows in the 50s, as popularized by Marilyn Monroe, to the present day, where thick natural brows have been given a high fashion seal of approval. Yet, don't even get us started on the latest brow raising trends. Monobrows. Monobrows are making a comeback, Glenn, in the world of fashion.
I didn't know that they ever had some place where they could come back, except for maybe perhaps caveman days.
They were kind of popular
then. They were popular then.
So think of now, there's a lot of pictures of this. Comes from Glamour magazine. Lots of pictures of this where you have this like really hot 25-year-old supermodel with like a caterpillar crawling across her face in between her eyes.
Was Brooke Shields kind of like that? I mean, I cannot believe I say this. So it shows you I read way too much. But I read this article or one like this, and it used Frida, the artist, as the icon. And I'm like, well, no, she wasn't pretty. She was not pretty.
That wasn't what she was known for.
No, she also had a mustache. I don't think that we need to, you know what I'm saying?
But this is the world we live in, where Melania Trump gets criticized for her appearance.
Yes.
And monobrows are coming back into fashion.
And it goes right directly to the perspective from Jim Carrey. It's all worthless.
Glenn Beck.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
So if you live here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, on Sunday night, you might have been cleaning up. The kids are in bed and you're just cleaning the dishes and putting things away as you're getting ready for Monday. And maybe the TV was on and the 10 o'clock news comes on and you might have heard a report that talked about a shooting in Plano, Texas.
Eight people shot and killed after someone opened fire at a home.
Plano is a suburb of Dallas. It's a big city, growing. It happens, right? For most people, I think this story slipped by unnoticed. Just another violent incident, part of living in a big city. But by Monday afternoon, while everybody's attention was elsewhere, the Plano police chief, Greg Rushen, made an announcement that was pretty shocking. It wasn't just a homicide. It was a lot worse than that.
Nine gunshot victims discovered at the residence.
We were probably all so busy that you didn't hear that press conference the next night, and you didn't really think that one through.
Was also pronounced deceased.
The story was about a 27-year-old woman named Meredith Lane, and she was hosting a Cowboys game, a watch party at her house. She had bought the house in 2015 when she was married, but her and her husband aren't together. They had filed for a divorce. She asked for the divorce about 2 months ago. It was a normal night in Plano. It was a beautiful night. I mean, people were out barbecuing. People in Cowboys jerseys were around and going in and out of the house. There was laughter. There was the cookout. It was typical during a Cowboys game here in the Dallas area. Then as the sun started to set, just down the street from Lane's house, a woman named Crystal Sugg, she stepped outside of the nursing home where she works. She needed to take a cigarette break. She decided to go take a long, slow walk, smoking on her way. Well, as she was walking, she barely even noticed the man and the woman standing in front of the house up ahead. She didn't know that it was Meredith's house. She didn't know who those people were. She could tell that they were arguing about something, but she was too far away to make out what the pair were saying to one another, and it
got louder, and their gestures became more intense. She was beginning to feel a little uncomfortable, kind of eavesdropping, still not knowing what they were arguing about. But she watched them from a distance for several minutes. When the woman suddenly turned and went back into the house, and the man followed directly behind her, and that's when Crystal saw that he had pulled out what she thought was a rifle. She said everything after that accelerated. She saw the man's rifle, and she started running back towards the nursing home. Behind her, she heard heavy gunfire. She said 30 or 40 rounds. She heard screaming coming from inside and out around the house. She made it back to the nursing home, immediately grabbed the phone and dialed 911. The other neighbors, hearing the same stuff, did exactly the same. Now, the smell of burgers and chicken on the grill was overpowered close to the house by the smell of gunpowder. It didn't take long before the first police officer arrived at the scene. He didn't exactly know what he was walking into.
When somebody is actively taking people's lives, and we know that we have to get in there immediately as quickly as possible.
He knocked on the door, went inside, and there was more gunfire in the house.
And this officer went directly into fire and stopped the shooter's ability to continue to kill people.
When all of the neighbors stopped, listened, and watched, eight people lay dead in the house, including the guy who had the gun. Another person died in the hospital the next day. One more victim still clinging to life in the hospital. That's what really happened when we heard that report on Sunday night. And it wasn't until the next day that we actually heard the grim details. It's really easy for us to dismiss the stuff on the news as just news that doesn't affect us. Ah, it's big city. It's probably a gang. It's harder to get your arms around something that just happened in a normal neighborhood where it was just a husband and wife, a disgruntled husband that wanted to come back and prove a point. The reason why I wanted to bring this story to your attention is chaos is closer than you think. Sometimes it's just down the street or in the house next door. Yesterday, number 11. So I think it's number one twice. Number 11, a podcast at iTunes was...
That's exactly what that means.
Is that what it means? Yeah. Is Pat Gray Unleashed, who does a radio program and television program.
I'm number 11. I'm number 11.
I'm number one twice. I'm number one twice. I'm number one twice. He does a television program, follows this on the Blaze Radio and Television Network, and we invite you to see it at theblaze.com.
Perhaps people should subscribe to that podcast on iTunes? Is that how that works?
I don't know. I've not heard of this iTunes thing of which you speak, but I guess a podcast there doing well is a big thing. So, welcome, Pat.
Thank you. You guys hear about this story, the McDonald's employee who went into the bathroom and had a baby at McDonald's.
Oh.
And
may I remind, all McDonald's employees should wash their hands after having a baby in the bathroom.
It's a really good safety tip.
Thank you. All employees should just make that a...
It turned out to be a tad messy.
Yes.
In the bathroom. And then she tried to flush it down the toilet.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
At McDonald's.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, McDonald's is a happy place. It's a slap-hap-happy place. A slap-hap-happy place. So she had gone, I guess, continually back and forth to the bathroom, and employees finally got suspicious of what she was doing. So they went in there, and one of them, I mean, they saw the mess, and one of them peeked over the top, and here she is with the baby's head face down the toilet bowl.
Oh, my gosh.
Trying to flush it.
Oh, and my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Fortunately, those employees came in time, and the
baby
paramedics
saved
the baby.
Oh.
Yeah, saved the baby. It's a shocking... She's in jail now on $11 million bond. And it's a shocking, horrific story. But when you think about how many liberals and progressives would be completely fine with attempted murder of a baby if it happened 5 minutes before this, right? And it happened
quite honestly
with scissors, forceps, and suction tubes.
Quite honestly, Kurt Gosnell, the reason why he was not as famous as he should be as the biggest serial killer in American history is because they are fine. They are fine.
They're fine with it.
With a baby not being forcibly flushed down the toilet in McDonald's, although I don't understand the difference. They're fine with it just being put into a closet and left to die.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think it's time that we point this stuff out that, yeah, it is horrific. You can't even, it's unfathomable that a woman would try to do that to her baby. But if it happened at a Planned Parenthood place with a doctor just tearing it out of the womb, you wouldn't care. You wouldn't care one iota. So how is that possible? How do you make that distinction? Then you go to OkCupid, who's now allowing people this month to get together in groups celebrating abortion.
Oh my God.
This month. They all stand with Planned Parenthood. It's people who stand with Planned Parenthood and abortion.
Isn't OkCupid a dating site?
Yes.
What does that have to do with a...
Well, Stu, there's nothing sexier than a shared cause. And I got to tell you, man,
that sounds like what they really say.
That is what they said. Nothing sexier than a shared cause.
Oh my gosh.
And you can just kind of imagine sitting in the living room, the Barry White is playing. You got the champagne chilling.
Mm. Hey, baby.
The lights are dim. He's a baby. Tell me about that time you had that fetus sucked out of your womb. You know what I like, mama.
It's nothing sexier than a shared cause. Isn't OkCupid the site that booted the white supremacist off?
Yes.
They have a shared cause,
now,
too.
It's got to be the right shared cause, obviously.
Because I know they're one of the shared causes is responsible in very recent memory for multiple millions killed.
Yes.
Which cause was that? The white supremacist?
No,
white
supremacist.
Or the Planned Parenthood?
I've done a lot of terrible things. However, only one of their actions is legal.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, this is a legalized activity where millions of children have died.
Yeah.
52 million.
You know what it is? Planned Parenthood, every time you hear Planned Parenthood and somebody say, you know what? They provide all kinds of different services. Yes. And Hitler built the Autobahn and is responsible for the Volkswagen.
Yes. That's right.
What's the difference? By the way, the main thing they're remembered for is killing millions of people.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
Did you hear, Pat, we're providing no-cost abortions for patients affected by Hurricane Harvey for the month of September. This is a clinic in Houston.
Oh, my gosh.
They are helping by providing free abortions in Houston.
It's sick and it's despicable.
Especially wow. after what has happened. I have to tell you, I read that last night, and I prayed, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. First, we need your mercy, but help me.
Yeah.
Help me love, teach me, show me. How do I love the people who I truly and deeply disagree with? Show us the path.
Yeah, and show us how to make an impact with the other side here.
How do we do it with empathy and kindness? How do we do it? Because they are deceived beyond understanding. And our hearts have become hardened and angry and judgmental. And honestly, more times than not, I want to be the one that brings justice. That's not my place.
Yeah.
It's not my place. And we have got to find ways to help these people. This woman who was in McDonald's, she's either reverted back to her animalistic nature and doesn't feel anything but what got her there. So we help others so they don't get there. Or she was in so deep of pain and trouble that she didn't know what else to do.
Didn't know what to do. And, you know, we glorify abortion. So, I mean, could you not have the mentality that if I had a partial birth abortion, this wouldn't be a problem? Why is it now?
Seriously, what is the difference?
There is no difference.
Other than, well, we want money to change hands.
Yes.
Other than that, if, you know, I want them safe. Okay, well, she was safe. She was safe. Yeah. Is it the best way to do it? No, but nothing happened to her. So what is the difference?
Yeah, I mean, Kermit Gosnell does the things that he does, and he does them slightly earlier, and he is at a country club instead of prison.
Yeah.
And he's praised. It's not just not just he gets away with it and he walks free. He's a rich doctor who has a country club membership and a Porsche.
Yeah.
That is how close this is and how ridiculous it is. Just seconds away. I mean, that makes absolutely no sense. And by the way, the law that he broke is a law that liberals disagree with. A 24-week window is not something they support. So, I mean, he went to jail for a law that the left actually opposes. It's incredible. And of course, we will vilify appropriately this woman who tries to kill her own child. But how many people make that same decision? Pat Gray Unleashed, coming up in just moments on the Blaze Radio and TV networks. You can subscribe to, I don't know, the podcast on iTunes.
You can listen live.
If they keep subscribing, will you be number one 3 times? Like 111?
Like 111, yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Okay. Make it go up.
No, that would be... Oh, no, that would be 3, because I was going to say it's 30 if he was 33. That would be, he'd be number 3 times. And but number 1 3 times would be... 111. You're right.
Yeah.
Let's just make you number one time.
Being so greedy. Stop hogging.
Okay.
I want you number one time.
I could go along with that.
All right. So anyway, the podcast hour, or you can subscribe to The Blaze, theblaze.com, and help us pay some bills here and be a part of it. It's great fun, and we have a lot of great stuff coming for you. Pat is one of the first steps, and we're thrilled that he is doing so well. Number 11 yesterday on podcast day number 3. So thank you for that. We have a very resilient country, but right now we're experiencing a lot of pressure points. Last week, North Korea tested a hydrogen bomb. Doesn't that seem like a million years ago? Houston was hit by Hurricane Harvey. That was 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. Now 6 million Floridians still without power. There are a lot of pressure points. And what is the pressure point that breaks the camel's back? I don't know. We were talking about Bitcoin earlier today. Bitcoin has fallen from 5,000 to, what is it, 3,500?
Yeah, about 3,500.
The thing with Bitcoin is that is either all or nothing. That's either going to be worth something or worth nothing. Because it doesn't have any intrinsic value. It's not even real. It's the same with paper money. It's why it could go to zero. Once people stop believing in it, it goes to zero because it's only worth the paper it's printed on. Gold is different. Gold is an actual commodity. It's actually used in other things. It will never go to zero. And in fact, Goldline is, imagine if you could invest, if I could sell you a Bitcoin or a stock and I said, look, you put $2,500 in, I will make sure that I make it up with extra stock so you don't lose the $2,500 if it goes down the next 3 months. Okay. If you give me $25,000, I'm going to give you the $25,000 in stock. And in a year from now, if it goes down, I'll make it up with more stock. The reason why that's not that impressive is because if the company is going under and the stock is becoming more and more worthless, you could give me 1 million shares of something if it's crap, if it's not worth anything. Gold never loses its value. This is the promise they make. Goldline. Read their important risk information at 1-866-GOLDLINE. 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com. Do it now.
Glenn Beck.
Well, yesterday, 2 statues were defaced. One was Francis Scott Key. The other one was a Catholic saint that was beheaded. The statue was beheaded, and they're going to try to do the same thing to Ben Shapiro, our good friend, tonight in Berkeley. May I humbly ask that we all pray for peace, but act with love. I will be gone tomorrow. I will see you back here Monday with a fantastic program. God bless.
Glenn Beck.